And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
If only animals could write their own sonnets and soliloquies, how much richer we might all be. To feel the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, to take up arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing end them, to die, to sleep no more, and by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to be or not to be. That is the question when your voice of the earth continues anon.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Well, I'm no Hamlet, nor am I a Richard Burton. And certainly we seem not to have a Shakespeare in our midst, although perhaps we could use one. It's amazing that 500 years ago, the bard could so skillfully express the myriad complexities of the realm, from the flatulence of Falstaff to the cunning of King Henry IV. Imagine for a moment that someone in this, our global stage, could tell our tale of power and intrigue, cunning and greed, cruelty and the headlong race to the witch's brew of double-double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble. A metaphor for climate change? Someone to show us the loneliness of the barren soul as the great and spirited friends who have sustained and nourished our lives, the wild horses tamed and borne us to the ends of the earth, the wolves, which became the man's best friend, the dog, which honors even the tramp and the clown, the birds, which awaken our days with joy and regaling, the butterflies, who kiss our sodden eyes, and the horse and the wolf and the mockingbird and monarch find their place in the grand stage of life, rewritten and written off, as the new actors in this global play perform only for profit, power, and property. To be or not to be takes on new meaning as we hear the mystery of the disappearance of bees across the nation and around the world. Where are they going and why? We ask that question in segment 2. To be or not to be is also the question of life itself these days, as we witness the accelerating race to extinction of hundreds and thousands of the lead and bit players known as the balance of nature. In segment 3, we visit the Center for Biological Diversity, dedicated to bringing awareness to the plight of the endangering populations of whales and wolves, frogs and fowl, of every color, dimension, shape, and form. Something's coming. Yes, something's coming. But it's obscured in the mists of the warming oceans, lost in the silence of the plundered woods, beyond the reach, perhaps, of even a dream much longer. I say no more, no more. But first, the news. Beekeepers from around the nation are reporting a sudden and significant disappearance of bees from working hives. At this time, there is no explanation for this development, which seems to be a general decline. Bees play a critical role in helping to pollinate food crops, and the reports, which cite losses ranging from 40% to 80% in the population of colonies, the impact on our food supply may be felt in the months ahead. We will be covering this story during the second segment of today's show. Japan's Fisheries Agency's Far Seas Division, which conducts and sponsors the annual Japanese whale hunt, purportedly for scientific research, has officially called off the winter hunt in the Antarctic waters, due in large part to the direct confrontations by sea shepherds Farley Mowat, Robert Hunter, and the Greenpeace vessels, which resulted in a collision of whales and ships recently in the Antarctic seas. Adding to Japan's whale fleet woes was a fire aboard the Nishin Mara, which crippled the ship, and threatened to develop into a toxic spill off the coast of one of Antarctica's primary penguin nesting and breeding sites. One Japanese sailor died as a result of the fire, which is not blamed on the anti-whaling actions. The Nishan Mara has been put into order and is steaming away and hopes to serve as the factory ship during the spring whale harvest scheduled for May in the Northwest